The problem with most financial shows when it comes to calling the market is that it's one guy's opinion over and over again.
Sell, sell, sell!
But any veteran investor knows that there are two sides to every trade, a buyer for every seller, and vice versa.
Buy, buy, buy!
That's why Money Life brings you a wide range of experts.
I need people who, you know, can work well under pressure.
Each day you get the benefit of a new set of eyes on the market with different methods and decision-making tools. Every day you'll hear a different expert giving their take on the market, on what looks good, what looks bad, and how they feel about some of your stock selections.
This stock is blowing up right now.
You never know who might show up to talk stocks. It may be a famous money manager or someone you've never heard of before.
No!
But you'll always get their straight talk.
Must you always be so blasted honest?
Their straight talk, that is, about what they see happening on the market and where to think about putting your money on the daily Money Life Market Call.
That's right, it's the Money Life Market Call, and today we are joined by Rich Maroney. He is the editor of Dow Theory Forecasts and Upside. Now, if you're not familiar with the newsletters, well, for starters, you missed out on some good reading this week because the newsletters for this month just arrived in my mailbox and definitely worth taking a look. In fact, the Dow Theory Forecasts gave a good look at the Quadric system, which we're going to be talking about and how it actually works. So if you want more information, this would be a particularly good month to look at Dow Theory Forecasts if you want that explanation. It's DowTheory.com or UpsideStocks.com. And by the way, the key distinguishing factor here is that Upside really focuses on small and mid-cap stocks, whereas Dow Theory a little bit more on the large cap. Rich Maroney, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Chuck.
I mentioned Quadrix. It is the system that you use. It's the system that rates things, although you do apply a little bit more of a layer of interpretation on top of it. But explain how it works so that people understand what goes into a buy or sell for you.
Yeah, the first tool we look at for any buy or sell is our Quadrix rating system. And the basic approach is fairly simple. We are looking for as many what I call arrows pointing up as possible. So we have nearly 90 factors that we use spread among six different categories, and those are momentum, where we're looking at, you know, recent operating results, value, where we're looking at price earnings, price sales ratios, price to free cash flow ratios. We also look at those ratios relative to historical norms. Is the stock cheaper today than it was relative to its 3 or 5 year norm? We look at quality, where we're looking at the company's track record, return on assets, return on investment. Financial strength does not get a big weight in the overall score, but it is part of the overall score, and it focuses on profit margins, debt levels, interest coverage, earnings estimates, where we look at the trend in analyst estimates. We also look at number of estimates going up versus down. And the final category is performance, where we're looking at stock returns of periods generally less than 1 year, rewarding stocks for superior total returns. Those six categories are weighted on a weighted score. We don't give out the weights, but the ones that get the most weight tend to be value, momentum, and quality, with value tending to go in the opposite direction of the other five categories. So what we really want is a stock that's not only cheap with a good value score, but also has good scores in the other categories, and that leads to high overall scores. Classic example is an Apple, which gets an overall of 99. Its value score is actually 72, but because it's getting 88 momentum, 98 quality, 90 financial strength, 97 earnings estimates, 91 performance, just showing across the board strength for all the categories except for value, where it gets a solid 72, that leads to an overall score of 99.
And that explains to folks why it's a buy and why you're willing to maybe overlook the value proposition. Now, what makes something a sell? I mean, you talk about a stock like Apple with a 99 score, although not a great value score. What turns something into a sell? How low does it have to be scoring to get to where you're going, yeah, I'd rather go with something that's better rated?
Well, just on our typical MO, add it when the overall score is above 90 and consider selling it if the overall score is below 80. We don't follow that always. If a stock dips to 79 and we look at it, we're not going to necessarily downgrade it, but that is kind of a key point for us, that 80 overall score. If it's not among the top one-fifth of stocks in the ranking system, then we take a look at it, and oftentimes we downgrade it.
But it's important that people understand you're selling roughly at the 80 level. So it's not like, wow, if you've got something and it's a long-term hold and you've been hanging on, but it winds up dropping to the 40s or 50s, that to you would still be something you would get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's more than 4,000 stocks that we can invest in, you know, based on our market cap parameters. So we don't think it really makes sense to be messing around with middling stocks. If you got a system that works, you know, you have to be reasonable about turnover and et cetera. And you don't want to be going in and out of stocks just on little blips. But yeah, we're not likely to write a stock down in its overall score all the way from 90 into the 50s.
How does it change in the market conditions that we've had? I mean, Lord knows, it's not like we can't say, wow, the market has been just moving in crazy ways.
Well, throughout this, really the last 12, 18 months, value has been working very well, and overall it's been working pretty well. There's been kind of fits and starts with earnings estimates, with performance, but really value has been underwriting the overall score and allowing it to work consistently. Now in October, it was a choppy month. It was kind of a wash. There wasn't a high amount of effectiveness in that month for any of the scores, though value continued to outperform. So there was kind of a shift away from what had been working in the momentum, earnings estimates, performance recently. And that's often what you see when you see massive volatility. It means whatever trends were in place are getting, you know, there's rotation happening. And oftentimes it's the factors like momentum, earnings estimates, performance, where you're really kind of looking at how a company is performing during those market rotation periods. Investors are taking bets as to why the past is no longer going to be precedent. You know, they're looking at oil prices and they're saying, well, geez, this momentum score for this oil company, that's ancient history given where oil prices are. Or they're looking at the earnings estimates and saying that hasn't caught up to those earnings estimates haven't caught up to reality yet. And you see a shift. And then over time, if the trend remains in place, those kind of categories tend to do better. What keeps this system really working, though, you know, really is the value score kind of is relentless. If you're not cheap, you're not going to get a good score. So we're always kind of looking at relatively cheap stocks, and the other stuff just makes it a cheap stock with more, a cheap stock with operating momentum, with a track record, with rising estimates, with a superior share price performance. You can't always have all those in all your stocks, but you can try.
Okay. So for people who are looking now, what are things that score really well that they should be considering? What are a couple of things that Quadrix really likes and that you like too?
Well, technology is scoring relatively well, but it's not universal. Some of the bigger companies that have a little bit of a cyclical exposure. I mentioned Apple before. A company like Skyworks, which makes RF radio frequency semiconductors for Apple. Another case of just outstanding operating momentum, gets a 95 in our score. Micron Technology, a maker of memory storage products, also gets the maximum score of 100. Oftentimes, the stocks that score really well are companies that have operating momentum, but investors are worried, is this going to continue? So they're kind of second guessing the results, and therefore the stock is cheap. And if you can find one of those where the track record looks likely to continue, that's where we try to find. One group that's scoring very well that kind of characterizes that is the airlines. I think kind of amazingly, four or five of the biggest U.S. airlines all score 97 or above. We like Alaska and we like Southwest. And if you kind of think about what I just said, you know, the operating momentum is undeniable. The stocks are cheap, undeniably, but people are looking at the picture and saying, I don't know if those airlines are going to be able to continue making money like this. There's going to be a capacity additions. Fuel is going to be volatile, et cetera. People just don't really quite buy into it yet. And the stocks will continue to score well as long as they remain cheap and as long as their operating momentum remains, you know, intact. So that's kind of a classic example of a group where investors really aren't buying into the story yet. And it's kind of once they do, then you see the value score drop and we exit, you know, if everything works out well.
Now it's time to find out how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Play Hold It.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or Fold It.
Know when to fold up.
That's right. It's Hold It or Fold It time with my guest, Rich Maroney. He is the editor of Upside Stocks and Dow Theory Forecasts. And if you want more information, well, it's DowTheory.com and UpsideStocks.com. So as easy as it would seem, that's exactly what you need to be looking for. Now, Hold It or Fold It, you know how it works. It's simple enough. If you want to participate directly, send us your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck@MoneyLifeShow.com. We'll add them to our list, and hopefully they make it into an interview soon. We're going to start with a request from Joe in Colorado Springs, and we already know, because you mentioned it, how you feel about it, but I want more information. The stock is Skyworks Solutions, SWKS, and you basically said it scores great, but I need to tell you that this morning, Charles Rotblut, editor of AAII Journal, made that stock his sell of the week on this show, and he said the momentum is running out. He had made it the buy of the week previously, and he says it's time for profit taking. So here you are talking about sector with the doubt. Why do you think this can go on? Because that's what you've got, is the doubt in that particular piece, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm not sure why he's making a one-week call like that, but I don't think there's any signs to me that the momentum is flagging. If you look at the stock, it hit an all-time high yesterday. The earnings estimates are surging. It's got a 99 in our earnings estimates. Its performance score is a 91. The question is value and whether we're paying too much for it. I don't think you are. It gets a middling score in our Quadrix rating system, kind of like Apple itself. But if you give them some credit for the momentum they have and kind of assume that year-ahead expectations are reasonable, it's trading about 15 times year-ahead estimates. Seems pretty reasonable for the company, given the company's track record and its position, especially when you consider they got more than $4.50 per share in cash. So I mean, maybe he's looking ahead to future models,
yeah, well,
Apple
he
products
basically,
or something, but there's nothing in the numbers itself that would suggest that growth or momentum is flagging.
There you go.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Well, I think he's basically saying, hey, before I could buy it on the basis of not just growth and momentum, but value. And now he doesn't think he can buy it as a value. So that was why he was moving away from it. We got a request from Palmer in Fort Worth, Texas for Amazon.com. That's AMZN.
Yeah, I would fold it. I would sell it. For a long time, Amazon has been able to kind of put off the day of reckoning where they need to show they're going to deliver profits. But I think they've just gone too far and they're just spending too much money relative to their revenue. And now that they're disappointing, it's no longer just a stock that goes up and people are kind of looking at it saying, well, what am I really getting here? It doesn't make very much money when you look at their margins. It's very expensive, gets a value score of 25 in our rating system, and doesn't even really have the other kind of factors that you would want in a go-go growth stock. I mean, its momentum is below average when you look at sales and earnings progress. Earnings estimates are very negative, and even the share price now is, we got it as a 28 in performance. So that's a sell.
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
That was a sell on Amazon.com, AMZN. John in Natick, Massachusetts wants to know about Commvault Systems, CVLT.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting stock. We've looked at it in years past. Does have a good track record. I mean, it's one that I would watch, but if you look at how it's actually doing now, it's really kind of stumbled. Earnings estimates have been slashed. The stock has been beaten up pretty good and has underperformed. I mean, I kind of hate to say sell on a stock that's gone from 68 to 45 in the space of 6 months, but yeah, I would put it as a sell. It doesn't score well in our ranking system, and the outlook looks pretty uncertain.
Just let it go, dude. Count your losses and move on.
That's a sell on Commvault Systems, CVLT. Josh in Petaluma, California wants to know about Cognizant Technology Solutions, CTSH.
We like Cognizant. It's a buy on our Dow Theory forecasts. Really, really stellar track record. The stock has pulled back on a slightly disappointing June quarter. They're going to post their September quarter this week. It's bounced over the last week on a couple of good reports from some of their peers, but I still think this stock's got further to go. It's at 48 now. I think you could see that stock, you know, 20% higher in a year's time. I would be a buyer.
Don't worry if the price starts going up. Just keep buying.
That was a buy on Cognizant Technology Solutions, CTSH. And last, John in Seattle wants to know about Lexicon Pharmaceuticals. That's LXRX.
Yeah, this is the kind of stock that Quadrix historically does not do a real great job of grading. This is a company for which prospects really depend on their new product pipeline. But by the numbers, you know, the stock is a strong sell. Earns a 12 out of 100 on overall score, 11 out of 100 on value, so it's very expensive. Financial strength is very poor. I mean, I guess I'm a little hesitant because I don't know the ins and outs of their product pipeline, but very speculative stock. I would be a seller.
That was a sell on Lexicon Pharmaceuticals, LXRX.
Don't get greedy.
And I wish I could be greedy and ask Rich Maroney to stay for more and do more of this, but we've run out of time. So, Rich, I'll just have to ask you to come back in a couple of months. I hope you'll do it.
Sounds good, Chuck.
Rich Maroney is the editor of Dow Theory Forecasts and Upside. If you want more information, DowTheory.com. Or if you're looking in small and mid-cap stocks, UpsideStocks.com. All right, we'll cross the finish line together, put a big bow on this show, and tell you what's happened with our trivia contest as Money Life continues right after this message.